All right, everybody, welcome back to the Crypto Rundown, a very special edition of the Crypto Rundown. It is quite possibly, I'm sure, some of your guys' favorites. It is the Meme Coin Mania episode, and we are so welcomed by both Brian and Joe. We'll get to them in a second, but this is one that you're not going to want to miss because it is the We Called It episode. If you're listening on YouTube, you see it on the title. They called it an absolute winner of an alert. Just a little teaser. It is Aster, but we're going to go into why they called it and how you can get those alerts to make sure that they're in your inbox next time they send them out. But Brian and Joe, welcome back. We got a lot to cover. We covered it with Brendan. There's a little bit of downside price action. We're going to churn through that and talk about it, but there's just unlimited amounts of things underneath the cryptocurrency hood where, you know, there's just a lot of bullish news and it's getting drowned out by the price action. I see it on TV. Just everybody's like, oh my God, Ethereum's down 7%. The sky's falling. Bitcoin's going to enter a correction. It's like, guys, you told me Bitcoin's going to enter a correction at the beginning of the year and the price was $110,000. Sign me up. Let's break it all down. Joe, welcome back. They have my people, my podcast people haven't heard from you in a while. They've been asking for you. They miss you. How you doing?
Good. Things are good. Great for me. I know markets aren't the best, but I'm excited.
That's awesome. And Brian, welcome back. Brian, not only are you on the show, you are quite the commenter as well.
Yeah, hey man, I get in those comments left and right when you and Brendan are going at it. So I absolutely love when you two are doing a show. And that's what I learned, man. I'm just like our community. I'm learning every second when you and B are chatting it up.
Well, I think that's the fun thing about the whole entire show is we're always learning. Literally every time we hit record, I think we always have stuff to share. That's clear. But we're learning from each other and we're learning from, you know, the fans on or the listeners, fans, whatever you want to call yourselves. The live stream, X, I was talking with AC Crypto on X. He was sending me some data reports, possibly about Kraken, that he was asking me if we could verify it. So there's just alpha all over the place. Guys, welcome to the show. If you're just piling in now, if you don't mind, give it a thumbs up. It really helps us grow. And then if you're new here, the bottom right, you'll see our logo. Tap on it, hit subscribe, hit the bell so you don't miss anything. But let's dive right into it, fellas. I'm going to pull up CoinMarketCap. And Brian, I know this is a big favorite screen of yours, just to look at all the stuff that's going on. A lot of red. We touched it the other day with Brendan, how we basically were eyeing up that fear and greed index was tilting to the left, heading towards fear. I think a couple of them actually touched fear today. I saw that on the timeline. So we're heading the opposite way, the way we don't love to go. But again, I mean, you're seeing Bitcoin at 112 during this quote unquote correction phase. Ethereum at 41.5 there, you know, at an 8% decline for the week. But what's your takeaway and, you know, just thoughts around the price action leading into this week?
Yeah, really not that surprising to me. I think you guys on the some of the past rundowns, you even kind of stated, and I agreed with that commentary that you stated, that it felt like we were all, for the past couple of weeks, there's a lot of bullish news. We're all kind of drinking the Kool-Aid. We were all piling in about the rate cuts. You and I did a rate cuts live show, for goodness sakes. So we were all pretty bullish, and just like the crypto in the financial sector likes to do, it kind of likes to smack us down a little bit and tell us, hey, like, we'll wipe some leverage out and make everyone feel some pain on a Monday or Tuesday. But personally, couldn't be more bullish. I say it all the time. I'm a permabull. You're a permabull. Couldn't be more bullish about where we're at. This feels like Bitcoin and some of the majors and some of these altcoins are absolutely on a fire sale. Before I've said multiple times, I think we get to an all-time high before Halloween with Bitcoin. I do believe before that time, there's going to be another final kind of shakeout. And I don't even know if this is it, to be honest with you. I think we could get a little bit of a shakeout. It's still a slow month in September, but October is a real thing. It's one of the best performing months for Bitcoin and all other cryptos. It feels like we're headed in that way. So personally, I just feel like we're all a little too euphoric. We're a little too bubbly, a little bit of a shakeout here, but we're sitting at a pretty key level at 112,000 Bitcoin. And I feel perfectly fine where we're at. Nothing fundamentally scaring me off. And we've noticed that a lot of smart money is still piling into this. This isn't shaking the Tom Lees or the other treasury asset companies out there. What they're doing, they're actually buying this dip up. So it kind of makes me feel even better about my stance. But overall, don't feel too shaken up about this at all.
Yeah, credit to me. You know, every once in a while, you like to say credit to yourself. Credit to me. I said on Friday with Brendan, I was like, right after our live stream last Wednesday, and it was exactly what we wanted. We're cutting rates. There was no crazy volatility, the clearing event, the runway's open. And then on Friday afternoon, after digesting all of it, I was like, it does feel like we're all on the same side of the boat right now, which means, you know, usually there's going to be some volatility. But again, we hammered that point home on the last episode with Brendan. If you didn't listen to it, make sure you go back. He did a ton of technical analysis, and we covered a lot of other topics that we're not going to recover here. But one of them was the sky's falling, the markets are red, we're bleeding out, but the whales just keep buying, the Tom Lees and the sailors. We covered that in depth, so go check out that episode if you haven't yet. Joe, how are you feeling? I mean, you can't be feeling too bad. As I said, a little teaser, we're going to go over some absolute winners that you guys have been calling. So you can't be feeling too bad, but macro level, before we dive into the winners that you guys have been doing, are picking, you know, what's your take on the overall market here? All right, Crypt Nation fam, let's pause for 1 second and talk about an important issue going on right now, and that's SIM swap attacks. SIM swap attacks are becoming a serious threat, especially in crypto. If someone gets control of your phone number, they can access your bank accounts, your exchanges, emails, and even your private messages. That's why the Crypto 101 podcast has partnered with Afani. It's America's most secure mobile service, offering a guaranteed protection against SIM swaps with added privacy. Since launching, not one single Afani user has ever been SIM swapped. And for some reason, if it ever does happen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance against financial losses. This is literally why we chose to partner with them. It is our favorite thing about Afani is the insurance policy of up to $5 million if it does happen to you. Afani runs on either AT&T or the Verizon network, and you get to choose which one. There are no contracts, and it is super easy and seamless to sign up. You also get a 60-day money-back guarantee, so there's zero risk in trying it out. Right now, for our listeners, you get $99 off when you sign up at afani.com/crypto101. That's afani.com/crypto101, or check the show notes below for a link. These days, your phone number is probably more valuable than your social security number, so make sure it's protected with Afani. All right, Crypto 101 fam, after a long day of podcasting and trading these markets, you know I need a good night's sleep. And comfort is personal. For me, it's a mattress that's soft enough to sink into at the end of a long day, but supportive enough to keep my back happy in the morning. That's exactly what I get with the Avocado Green Mattress Eco Organic Mattress. It's their most affordable certified organic mattress without compromise. Medium firm with a plush organic latex and up to 1,000 steel coils that reduce motion transfer and keep your spine aligned. Every night I get world-class back support that feels just as good getting in as it does getting out, which we all know as we get older, getting out of bed sometimes is the hardest part of the day if you don't get a good night's sleep and your back hurts. And guys, here's the kicker. Avocado owns their own springs, wool, and latex supplies, so they cut out the middleman and pass on the savings to you. You get premium certified organic quality without the premium price tag. Head to avocadogreenmattress.com and save up to 20% on Avocado's certified organic mattress. That's avocadogreenmattress.com for 20% off. Avocado, dream of better.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Yeah, it looks like today the macros in terms of TradFi moved down just a tiny bit, which caused a little bit more ripple effect, I guess, in crypto. However, in Polymarket, I was just really interested to see there's a $16 million worth of volume that in October, there will be a 83% chance of another 25 dips decrease. And then in December, 73% odds of that lower volume. What's interesting is that there was over $200 million in volume for the September rate cut. So everything was boiling up to September, right? Which we saw come into fruition last week. And more rate cuts typically mean more liquidity flowing in, cheaper money. I think that's going to flow into crypto. So the October, you know, prediction, I think it's going to hold true. It's going to come steady. That's like, what, in 2 weeks? So overall, personally bullish. In TradFi too, up huge on Tesla, you know. Congrats, Elon. Thank you for pumping my bags with the $1 billion buyback. And overall, up in all markets, you know, total. So I'm excited. I see the little blip, the little dip that we have, but that doesn't faze me at all.
Yeah, it's we say it on the show all the time. It's zoom out, right? Go back to the beginning of the year. It and then even if you want to pick and choose your spots, go back to that, you know, that Liberation Day low that we covered nonstop. And then the euphoric rise into the spring, summer, and then, volatility for sure, slash choppy, you know, some choppiness during the summer. But overall, you know, you couldn't really ask for much more if you were going into the beginning of the year. But we are going into our favorite time. We covered it on the show. This week is dedicated to preparing for October. We talked about it with Brendan. We're going to talk about it today. And then we do have our October live stream with the entire team. Can I get a commitment? Brian and Joe, are you guys going to be there on Friday? Can you both make it?
I'm not going to be there. I'm actually out of the office on a golf trip in Nebraska. But I could call in.
This is unbelievable. This is breaking news, everybody. The entire team is going to be there. We will be missing Brian, but that's okay. Joe, can you make it?
Oh, yeah, I'll be there.
All right, Joe's going to be there. But it's a special one because, again, like, you know, Rohit doesn't come on the podcast a lot, so it's really exciting to get him there. I did talk to Bryce. He didn't, you know, he didn't promise me, but he confirmed. So, you know, unless something happens with, you know, that's out of his control, he's planning to be there. So it's going to be a really fun one on Friday to talk about this, the Bitcoin seasonality, just October seasonality. We flashed the chart of kind of that month by month breakdown since like the history of Bitcoin, and just October's basically been green, you know, except for maybe three or four times. So you guys brought us this chart for some Bitcoin seasonality. I'm not sure who pulled it up, but whoever brought it to the show, why don't you show us what this is telling you and why you're excited for going into the last quarter of the year?
Yeah, I put this on. This basically is just breaking down the past Bitcoin seasonalities that we've seen in the past cycles. And as you can see, that little red square there is really showing an upward to the right movement starting in October. So in a lot of these past seasons, we're always pretty flat, even slightly down. We've been saying that forever over the past, you know, red timber, we call it, in September, usually a red month. But you can see right when we start to catch October, Bitcoin in particular really starts to move. I think the average is like a plus 29% average positive price impact on the price of Bitcoin. So I'm really geared up for October. I think this is going to mimic very similar movement. And I believe that, you know, the black line at the top, basically us right now, is going to move up to the right. And, it just further enhances is that we do see these seasons. And this is one of the slowest seasons right now, but we're still sitting above $110,000 Bitcoin. And I think greener pastures are absolutely ahead.
Yeah, and then Joe, anything to add to October or the chart you're seeing here before I move on?
Yeah, just interesting data point is that 70% of all Bitcoin's growth within a year is typically from October to December. So I found that very fascinating.
Awesome. Well, I did bring a video clip for us last minute. I didn't put it on the sheet, but it just kind of dinged my mind when I saw it. So this is Mark Newton. So Mark Newton is the Brendan for Tom Lee. Like, Brendan's our technical analysis guru, our expert.
Come on.
And He's our quant, and we've covered Tom Lee's calls, you know, nonstop, along with many others, right? We just try to bring in the news that we think is worth parsing through to help make our own decisions. But this Mark Newton guy has called the Ethereum chart to a T now for basically 6 to 8 weeks, to the point where, I mean, he got some of those corrections down to the legit dollar, like within $7. And so when people start making calls like that, and, you know, you're in the flow with what, you know, whether it's a stock or a bond or an if you're in the flow of an asset, whether it's crypto or not, on the technical analysis, you have my respect. And so I saw a clip of him on Fox Business the other day, specifically talking about Ethereum as well as some other stocks. But let's see what he had to say about Ethereum. It's about 2 minutes. We might not listen to the whole thing, but let's take a look at Mark Newton.
Talk about your fund strategy.
Yep.
Product that you have.
That's right.
You're up 75%. You're up over 100%. You're up like 18%.
30 this year. It's up about 10% above the S&P.
The S&P. They're killing us. It's going to exist.
Yes, correct. That's
You've added four new names. Yeah. This is a little pressure. People are a little concerned about that today, but this
not
is far for the course with the volatility for this kind of.
That's right. One does not need to be concerned about Ethereum. It should go no lower than 4,000. I expect to move to 5,500. I like Ethereum a lot. It's my favorite of the cryptos. Some of these have a little bit lesser market cap than maybe some of the large caps. So the Reddit, I think, is phenomenal.
So we'll pause it there because he kind of groups those others into, you know, his favorite of the market. So if you're interested, it's Reddit, it's Shopify, and of course, it's Robinhood for the Robinhood boys of the pod. Joe, I know you're on board now, along with Brent, Brian, and myself. But Ethereum, again, the setup's there. This is take out October, right? Take out October, take out seasonals. He's just looking at charts. He's just reading the charts. He's got all his indicators that he's looking at. And so he's super bullish on Ethereum, which again, we believe here as a team that, yeah, you might have your favorites. And as we get later into the show and we're going to dive into the stuff that you guys have nailed in your expertise, and specifically the memes and NFTs that are rocketing recently, you can dive into the specifics, but all the tide will lift all boats in some way. You just want to try to get the most alpha that you can find. And so we have a couple more quick hitters that we're going to pull up, just again, kind of giving you that the tide is lifting all boats. And it's Morgan Stanley is talking about being months away from offering crypto trading through E-Trade. Now, E-Trade is a huge brokerage platform for very active traders. I would say it's kind of that next level of brokerage for it is retail focused for sure. But it is that next level. So, you know, Morgan Stanley is looking to basically just turn itself, for lack of a better words, correct me if you think I'm wrong, fellas, basically its own little Coinbase, right? Just they're trying to get a big pass through of just bringing crypto on board to E-Trade.
Yeah, this hit me home because I use E-Trade for a lot of my stock trading, and just it was a default brokerage I had. And I think they have like 1.4 trillion with a T in assets, and they're just making it easier. It's just another point to just point at with all the bullish things happening. Seasonality out the window, all the bullish things happening. We're just innovating and growing within the United States, and everyone's got to be paying attention to all these crypto progressions or innovation, I should say.
Yeah, and they're not going to be the only one, because the SEC came out this week and said they're creating new rules to allow crypto companies to launch products in the U.S. without complying with previous regulatory requirements. And those previous regulatory requirements we've covered before on the show endlessly. We even brought up Gary Gensler last week, and we said prison. We said he should be in prison, possibly. We don't have all the facts, but if some stuff came out and he was, you know, burning documents and doing all that, if that ends up being true, there's a small little role there for him maybe to get behind some bars. He was doing a little press tour last week that we covered, and it was like, why are you poking your head out? Like, you get in the news in a bad light, and then he's like begging for an interview hit. And so, you know, sometimes when you say when there's smoke, there's fire, but he's the old guard. And we played the famous clip of Trump on day one, we'll fire Gary Gensler. We got it done. He's out the door. And now we aren't dealing with these previous regulatory requirements. The SEC is literally rolling out the red carpet. I saw Paul Atkins, the chair, earlier this week as well, with some comments. They really, really are moving the ball. They're moving the ball fast. And again, you want them to do it the right way. We're not in these rooms having these discussions. We just kind of get the news as it comes out. But the hope would be with the time frame that you have with this administration is that not only are they going to do what's right for kind of the space, but hopefully they're thinking ahead. Because again, as much as we're getting out of and making the wrongs right from the previous administration, we want to make sure that some of this framework is rolled out in a way that it can't just be rolled back. And that's kind of what I've been looking for. Any thoughts about the regulation, Joe, and the pro-crypto SEC?
Yeah, in Silicon Valley, where I'm at, we're just seeing innovation in terms of crypto overall. Like Google, everyone knows that Google's working on their own L1 blockchain, but recently they announced a partnership with Coinbase for their AI agents to provide crypto rails. So just seeing those products roll out in a bigger way is meaningful. Like personally for me, I've deployed more liquidity into DeFi mechanisms by bigger players, and I haven't done that before. So it's just getting easier overall. The products are getting better, and I'm excited for these companies to come in and release, you know, good products for us to use. You know, a lot of people aren't in the weeds like we are here, you know, listening to live streams. Some people just want to deploy and make some money, and it's getting easier for everyone. So we always say mass adoption, but I'm really seeing it. I see it coming.
Yeah. And Brian, we just said how, you know, E-Trade's looking to roll out their platform, you know, this verbiage here, allow crypto companies to launch products in the US without complying to previous regulatory requirements. Two sides to that. Number one, this sounds like a general consensus that there's going to be a ton of products launched out, which makes it important to you that, you know, it's kind of promoting this podcast in our communities of like, you got to do the research on this stuff, because when all these products start coming out so fast, like there are going to be ones that are just better than others. And not to say that it could be in a sense of, you know, scam or bad actors, which you're always going to have in any space. I mean, look at Bernie Madoff, right? I could send you 10 documentaries on Bernie Madoff. It was one of the biggest frauds of all time, wrapped in a wrapper of traditional finance. And then of course there's FTX and Sam Bankman-Fried and crypto. So it's not necessarily that it's a bad actor thing, but when you get all these products all at once, you got to understand the fees. You got to understand what you're buying. And we've been covering and as excited as we are to see these like 2X altcoin ETFs that are being proposed. You know, if these people don't understand what's underneath those in the leverage, you know, our fear or my, you know, for our team is as educators is like, people don't know what they're buying and they're going to get in trouble. So as excited as we are and as awesome as these products are going to be across the board, you need to stay educated. So any thoughts around that, Brian?
No, you nailed it. I mean, we're seeing it a lot with the perpetual future platforms right now, like Hyperliquid. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're just seeing more and more perps platforms popping up that are very similar mechanisms. We've been talking about flywheels and burns and buybacks. I mean, when something starts to work, a lot of crypto companies start to adopt it, or they start to employ a lot more marketing and maybe less of a delivered product. So that's what we try to do. You know, we could talk one day about meme coins, why something could be so viral, and we understand the value behind that. But then there's this whole other side of the business where it's like, hey, yeah, we have a lot of copycat players coming out, a lot of people launching a lot of different products, a rush to the market. What's going to stick? What isn't going to stick? And that's what we're doing, breaking it down here pretty much every single day, it feels like.
Yeah, and it's our favorite thing to do. And the last point, and this kind of builds this SEC rollout of products, is something that was an executive order, but now is going to have a ton of momentum, I think, to actually get across the finish line. That's a personal take. Don't have any insider information, but I think this is going to be rolling out late in 25, early 26, and it is the SEC to implement President Trump's executive order for opening the 401k retirement market to crypto. So I always check this stuff all the time. You know, I worked at IBM earlier in my career, so I have a couple different companies with, you know, different 401ks and different brokerages, just because I like to see, you know, what other people are offering and what baskets you can put that type of money in, because it is kind of regulated in a different way. And it would be amazing if Bitcoin, even just Bitcoin, was available. Or, you know, there's going to be some of these blue chip ETFs possibly that are available for 401ks. It is exciting, I think, number one, and talk about an unlock of liquidity. I mean, I think, dare I say, again, personal take here, the 401k unlock would be just as big as the ETF approval. It kind of feels like it would be very similar, at least in the long term.
It's going to be so bullish. I mean, it looks like it's not if it's going to happen, when it's going to happen. And, you know, and you just have to remember that there's a generation that's even younger than us that's just so comfortable with all things digital and digital assets and understanding crypto. It's less like, why can't I hold this Bitcoin like a bar of gold? Now it's more like, oh, I have the digital assets on the blockchain. It's less education really needed for people who are now making major decisions with their 401k. So I think it's going to be huge. How it's going to affect the market, not really sure, but it's going to be huge.
Joe, any final thoughts?
I'm buying some Bitcoin immediately when they green light this within our company 401k. I'm super excited.
Yeah, that would be great if we added inside of ours, but it just feels like it's a liquidity unlock. So definitely something that we are going to watch. I'm going to stop sharing here and just going to give a shout out to the chat real quick. We got Fitz, we got Jason, Aaron, Deborah's here, Jack's here, Home Studios here. That's a new one. Hey, Home Studio. Corey D from Nashua, New Hampshire. Welcome, everybody. The chat's super active. Some new names, which is awesome. If you're new here, please subscribe. Check out that logo in the bottom right. Give it a click and then toss this video a like. It really, really helps us grow the channel and keep doing these free shows. So if you haven't yet, please give the video a like. But it is time for our main event. As you can see, all three of us are on the screen because even though I'm introducing it, I can take no credit for this. We had quite the amazing week last week in the Momentum Moneymakers group. Now, guys, you've had Brian and Joe on the show before, so you understand that Momentum Moneymakers is memes, it's NFTs, but it's really just anything that's hot and moving with fast-pacing action and high volatility. That's what these guys special in. They're in the trenches. They're our crypto Navy SEALs. And as I've always said when they're on the show, there is a link. It's right in the bottom of the description. If you're interested in trying, I think there's a $1 trial right now to join the Momentum Moneymakers course so you can learn from them and get their first alerts. And I say get their first alerts because last week, you guys absolutely nailed Aster. I saw the email. I got to partake in a little bit of action. I wish I partook more. My goodness, it was one of your... We always kind of talk about the historical amazing calls you had with an historical meeting in like short form order of Pengu and Pudgy Penguin. But Aster feels like in the most recent way of just being a week old, what a call. So can you guys break it down for us? How did you find it? What kind of research you went in? Just give the people a little sample of what it would be like to be in the Momentum Moneymakers sphere, to be able to get this information early, get your first alerts. And then we can talk about Aster again. Guys, pump the brakes if you think you're going to run and buy this thing right now. It's already had a huge rip. We need to be careful with these hockey sticks. They can come down quick. So like, let's focus on Brian and Joe and do the educational process first. But guys, how did you find this thing and make it an alert? And you guys absolutely crushed it. So great work.
No, I was going to give a nod to you. You were the first one to alert our community. We have a private chat box there, and you sent that off immediately when you saw it.
Yeah, I think we saw it initially, I think the day before actually our trade alert, because CZ was talking about it. And Aster's essentially, for anybody that's curious, is it's on the Binance chain, and it's essentially Hyperliquid, a perps trading platform. You can buy spot, you can do a lot of different things on it, but it's very similar to Hyperliquid, what Hyperliquid's built, but on the Binance platform. And why that's so important is Hyperliquid's caught a ton of share of the perps trading. It's a really hot topic, and Aster's been out there. When I saw CZ tweet it out and kind of give props to Aster, I was like, oh man, this looks good. And I actually posted it in our Mighty Networks. I think it was right around like 40 cents, maybe a little less. And I was like, hey, I don't have any exposure to this, but this looks like primed to rip. It's BNB season. CZ was chatting it up. It was, again, right around the 40 cents, and I didn't have any exposure to it. Then we did our live stream, Joe? Was that, we started talking about, with a community, we were talking about that. We liked Aster, and then Joe and I actually the next day were talking on a day off, and he brought it up to me. He's like, I got some exposure to it, and he was like, I'm going to fire out a trade alert. So hats off to Joe to getting that alert out and getting to our community. The price was a little higher, but substantially lower than what it is today. I forget exactly what we gave the alert at, but probably close to a 2x, right?
Yeah, we caught it on the 19th, which we were debating. It was it was frothy, right? It was 1.4, 1.5 billion market cap at that time. But we kind of compared it to Hype. Hype was at 15 to 20 billion market cap. So even if it didn't 10x, which we probably didn't think on a short term or near term, it would 10x, right? But it would probably cap, it had a good opportunity to capture 2 to 3x from there, we felt. And it did exactly that. It's 2 to 3x from when we caught it at around sub 1.5 billion. It's at 3.3 billion market cap today. And still have room to grow. There's still, what, about 5 to 6 times smaller than Hype. And Hype took, you know, a long time to kind of build its momentum. And Aster is just sort of riding off of that. And to go back to your question, TiVo, of how we found this out, we have our feelers out there. Brian's in some really big dog alpha groups. Personally, I have my network of traders, perps traders and whatnot. And it was just ringing off everywhere. I tried to buy it day one. I couldn't get it. We were trying to figure out how to buy it. And it became available on PancakeSwap, you know, probably like a day or two after that. And that's when I got exposure and felt comfortable to give it to community, because it's easy to call it out, but if it's not easy to buy it, right, it's tough for people to actually get in. And it's kind of more of a vocal win than an actual win for our community. So to hear some of our community members actually being able to get it, it's better for us versus people that kind of like feel left out, or they're, you had to jump through too many hoops to get it. So I could do another tutorial. Side note, TiVo, because when I did the IPO tutorial for the Gemini thing, dude, we won on that one. I'm not sure if anyone got in on that one, but I crushed that one. And there potentially being more wins on Binance since, you know, Brian did mention it is Binance season. Friends would like to call it crime season, but they do a lot of good stuff there, and things are happening over there. Yeah, so excited to talk about more.
Yeah, I guess, and just to wrap it up, no personal recommendations for anybody. This isn't personal financial advice. We're just purely educators and friends talking crypto. But just so to educate the people, not a call in any way, but, you know, when you have stuff that rockets, and we're looking at the chart here, a little, you know, it's an early project, be a little test and a bump back, but, you know, you could be looking at a breakout, you could be looking at a double top, you don't quite know yet. So just inform the people of, you know, the risk is, you know, as much as you guys called this and you gave out your first alert, you know, this isn't some secretive call as of now. And you got to be careful when these things rip this much of going and buying some tops here. So if you guys just want to kick that around before we move on.
Yeah, I could start, because that's been brought to light recently about how much unlocked tokens Hype doesn't have unlocked yet. But, you know, they didn't do a lot of buybacks. So they have a lot more history of success. And Aster is just, what, 5 days, so 6 days. So they're building that right now. And they have a massive unlock coming in October. It's part of like their season one, kind of like yield farming. If you utilize the platform, you get free stuff. And they're starting season two now. So that's ongoing. And to answer a question that you didn't ask is, why are these popping off? Because perps is nothing new, right? It's just that Hype kind of set the tone for that the flywheel is working, meaning the buybacks, the perp trading fees, going back into the trenches and rewarding people. And it's kind of, and people love perps. And it's kicking off kind of like a perp season, a small perp season. And we see in our links there that, you know, a lot of perps platforms are popping up. Justin Sun is going to launch one October 1st, some alpha for you guys. You may or may not love Tron ecosystem, but they are one of the top cryptos out there. There's stuff on Solana, there's stuff on Ethereum popping up.
Is that the next link in the sheet? Got it.
Yeah, it's just the announcement of his October 1st launches. And he's self-proclaiming it. He's calling it Sun Perps, you know, kind of floating his own name in bag, which is hilarious. But it just goes to show that, you know, this trend is here now. You got to watch it. Like you said, TiVo, it could go away tomorrow. But we believe that CZ has some staying power in Binance. Binance over there with the Asia, you know, ecosystem, they have a lot, they move a lot of liquidity. So we don't imagine it going anywhere anytime soon in terms of Aster. We definitely haven't dived deep into Sun Perps or there's one popping off in Solana called Ranger Finance, but we're going to dive deep into that with our community as we get into this Perps kind of season here.
Yeah, I saw that you guys kind of had on the notes there, Lighter, Ranger Finance, again, stuff that you guys go in depth and you give these alerts for, just like when you nailed, you know, this chart I kind of have it targeted here when the call went out within, you know, a couple hours, somewhere in that range. And then you rock it all the way up here. So if you're interested in being involved in the Momentum Moneymakers community, that's Brian and Joe's private community. Check the link below, guys, right in the description. It's the first one there. It's a $1 trial. So again, you get access to the alerts that we were talking about with Aster, and then a ton of other stuff inside the community to get more access to Brian and Joe. I mean, I don't know. That could be the best sales pitch of all is Aster, of what you guys called last week. So check out that link if you're interested. If not, we've got a ton more awesome amount of stuff to cover here with some alpha. Guys, I saw it on your sheet. We did talk about this last week, but I want to bring it up because, you know, you guys are experts of kind of that, you know, deep dive in the trenches. And base has been a part of the trenches, but almost slowly but surely it's kind of coming out and trying to be more mainstream with Aerodrome. And then, Brian, I remember me and you were talking, I got this special access of some sort via Coinbase to use Aerodrome on the Coinbase desktop to go buy any token in the world via base. So it's slowly but surely coming mainstream, but they kind of announced or hinted about possibly doing a token. We talked about it, but let's get your take. What are you hearing? And is this something that, you know, if it came out, it could be super bullish for this space? Or are we a little worried that it's a value extraction, as we like to call it? What are you seeing from base and the possibility of exploring a network token?
Yeah, I'm bullish on this token. Kind of the de facto coin of the base ecosystem was Aerodrome, because they're like the largest decentralized platform. I do think there'll be some value there for holding Aerodrome when this token actually gets released. But this is really just an announcement of an announcement. They don't have any tokenomics. They don't know if it's going to be a governance token, but it does sound like they're going to actually release a base token, which it'll be enormous. It's one of the largest L2s out there. I have full belief it's going to be very successful in a lot of different areas of blockchain and crypto. So I think the base token announcement's going to be very big. We have Brian Armstrong commenting on it. We have Jesse Pollock commenting on it. We got the base. It's not a matter of if, it's when. Personally, I do believe this is going to be a little farther off than what a lot of people are saying, like Q4. I think they're just kind of basically saying like, hey, there's one coming. Would expect it to come probably next year sometime, but really no inside information. But it does give us an opportunity, and something we'll talk about within our community. I've been kind of writing out some ideas of ways to get exposure to this base token, because there's going to be an airdrop. They're going to reward community members. They're going to reward people that are using apps on base. Probably if you're tweeting on Twitter or X, you should probably be putting the same tweets out on Farcaster, their social media platform, because I have a feeling all those are going to be rewarded, just like all these other airdrops. And there's a lot. I'm not sure if everyone's talking about it. I brought up in a meeting yesterday with the boys that there are a lot of airdrops upcoming. I have a list here that I wrote up. MetaMask made an announcement, the largest decentralized wallet out there, that they're going to have the Mask token. We got the OpenSea airdrop. We got the Abstract airdrop. We have Moonbirds. The NFT is going to come out with one. Polymarket, our favorite prediction website, is rumored to be finally going to be releasing a token. Myriad pretty much said they're going to release one. That's another prediction site. We got the Rainbow Wallet that's just made an announcement. We have Pump.Fun still owes us an airdrop. I see out there Pump.Fun, Mega ETH, Monad, EdgeX. We got Season 2 of Hyperliquid. Ethos, that's just a handful, more than a handful of Q4 more likely airdrops. So not only do I think this could be a very interesting Q4, because we're getting out of the seasonality, we like crypto prices to go up, but there also could be this massive influx of liquidity into kind of like the degenerate streets, you know, people like Joe and I that are using different platforms, using different blockchains. Personally, I'm eligible probably for like 80% of these airdrops, and I'm not going to sell them for cash. I'm going to roll it right back into probably some altcoins and Big Daddy Bitcoin. And I have a feeling a lot of people are going to do the same thing. So it's just another reason to be bullish. People like free money.
Yeah, it feels like a liquidity event on the horizon. I mean, airdrops compared to, you can't really compare it in a similar sense, but it's along the lines with rate cuts, right? It's just liquidity-driven events into the markets of all kinds, whether it be meme coins, the trenches, the crypto markets, the traditional markets, the housing markets. Things seem to be lined up, kind of like what we said at the end of our live stream. It was interesting, Brian, how the S&P, the Dow, and the NASDAQ were down, but small caps were up 0.5%. Again, long term, they've been kind of riding last couple months, along with housing stock kind of, you know, being a front runner to this Fed cut. But it seems like everything's lined up to, you know, you might not even be the most bullish person in the world for whatever markets you trade, but you kind of are going to be throwing your hands up and just being like, I mean, I don't fight the Fed. I can't fight the Fed. Like, you can't do it. Like, your hands are tied. You can't sell. You can't do this. I mean, especially if you lost to the bottom of that Liberation Day trade, if you're on the wrong end of that, like, your hands are tied. We're at all time highs across all markets. It's like, you gotta get involved because you really only have 3 months left. You have a quarter left, and then you got to publish your reports. And that's going to be a tough report to publish if you're a heavy underperformer in a year like this, depending on what your trades are. But Brian, Joe, specifically for airdrop season, you know, what are you most excited about and on the horizon? What's kind of got the plums tingling?
Yeah, probably Base. I dumped in a link there for Coinbase if you just pull that up, because there's so much happening that your head may spin for like the average person, but there's just a lot going on Base. Base is the sixth largest DeFi TVL. They got $5 billion locked. Coinbase just announced a lending on your USDC and on Base. I mean, 10% is like, how can you be bearish when you could get 11% on your stable coins? And this is what I'm talking about. I'm just deploying more. And that's on the Base ecosystem. And we're going to talk about with our community how potentially Aerodrome or any activity that you do on the Base ecosystem potentially may yield you a Base token. So no promises. They haven't even confirmed everything yet. But I'd probably be most excited about Base because that's something that I would deploy a larger amount of liquidity for. But I'm also doing everything that Brian's doing. So I think there's something for everyone, Tebow. So if you're a perps trader, if you love watching live streams on Pump, you know, if you love NFTs, you know, there's chains for that. Prediction markets on Polymarket. And we heard Kaoshi's doing on-chain stuff now. I think we got confirmation of that, right? We forgot to put that on a sheet, but I'll try to look for it. There's just a lot, and there's something for everyone, which is what I'm excited about.
Yeah, and we're going to be here to cover it for you. So again, if you're new here, please subscribe. We got tons of free content. Multiple times a week at this point, 3 to 4, 5 times a week, we're posting stuff on here. And if you're with us and you haven't yet, give this video a like, hit that thumbs up button. It really helps us keep growing. Everybody's favorite. There's no need for an introduction when you're talking about Pudgy Penguin, but always in the news, always having fun, always owning the timeline, even with maybe they're not the main event of the crypto sphere every single week. They're always involved. And once again, I did see this. It was pretty exciting to see this in some type of slide deck. But break this down for us, Brian. What did Pudgy Penguin accomplish this time?
Yeah, I'm going to kick this over to Joe because I know Joe has been following this very closely. But, you know, they were featured with Bullish on the New York Stock Exchange. But I'll let Joe kind of go into it in detail.
I feel like I just talk about Penguin like 24/7, which is fine with me. But I don't know if anyone else is getting bored. I'm sure not. They were featured on the New York Stock Exchange earnings call with Bullish. Bullish went IPO this last week. Actually did pretty well in the Bullish IPO. Hopefully some people got in also. And they are like a DEX for institutions. But it was just exciting because they called the first time ever a meme coin, you know, got called out as a way for the retail person to have adoption into crypto. I mean, to showcase adoption in crypto. And they use Pudgy Penguin as a showcase. You know, you can see their Pez, Sotheby's, and the laundry list goes on. But just another exciting move alongside, you know, you guys mentioned that they were on Apple TV last week. But this is more of a, you know, a serious note. This is on an earnings call and just Bullish having a position in Pudgy Penguin in terms of the meme coins and NFTs and laying way for the ETF potentially to be greenlit soon. So, you know, there's a lot of bullish indicators for Penguin, but this was just a confirmation from, you know, a publicly traded company that this is a real asset that's, you know, have seen massive adoption.
Yeah, I think you're not the only one that's always talking about Penguin. Anytime Brian's on or you guys both, it's it's worth bringing up. And then, yeah, the Pengu ETF was a fun one. We had that conversation with Brendan and Bryce with Canary Capital CEO. And he was, if you haven't listened to that, go back into our catalog and look for, it was Canary Capital, Pengu ETF. It wasn't just about that, but he did a great segment on kind of just that creative capital is what he called it, like the Pengu ETF or the Pengu brand, that being that creative capital. It was really, really interesting to hear him talk about it kind of from a different side than we always kick the ball around. But again, it's not the only meme coin making news, especially in the ETF world. Doge is primed to get some things passed as well. And so we were kicking around this a couple weeks or last, maybe it was 2 weeks ago or last week, but you know, some of these ETFs, it's not kind of that in-kind buying spot per se. It's more mimicking the price action. So again, like we talked about earlier in the show, you got to be careful with these products and understand what you're buying. But Dogecoin is being traded, and there's more ETFs along the way. So anybody, I'm not sure who put this link in, but whoever did, take it away.
I could talk about it. Yeah, it brought in close to like 20 million on day one, which shows kind of like the appetite. Which is hilarious because Brian and I don't know anyone that buys Doge, and it's doing well, drawing eyeballs, and just it paves the way for other, you know, ETFs filings after it, like Pudgy Penguin, just another onboarding mechanism for investors. Now you could buy this inside your Roth, right? Where traditionally you couldn't get exposure unless you downloaded a Coinbase app or whatnot. So just more liquidity unlock in different places and different vehicles for people to get exposure. And a lot of people have a lot of liquidity locked in certain places. Like you mentioned E-Trade, a lot of people don't want to move out of there to go to Robinhood, even though they should. Shout out to Hood. But, you know, this is just another way for Dogecoin to what a lot of people call franchise. You know, a lot of blockchains or projects will deploy on different blockchains. Like they'll launch in Solana, they'll launch on Ethereum. And this is similar. This is just another franchise, but on a different vehicle, right? For people to know the brand. So I'm excited it's happened because it just opens the doors, like we said. And we didn't put on here, but there's another, quite a few more that's, you know, looking to apply for ETF. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah. And just kind of to Dogecoin being recognizable as a brand, right? I don't want to compare it to this specifically, but it's kind of like XRP. Like anytime I'm out, and, you know, I don't really talk about hosting the podcast as much with friends, but like some people might have a friend who's really into crypto and they'll tell me, we'll start talking about it. And then the couple people are always like, oh, crypto, like I own XRP. What do you think? Or I own Dogecoin. It's just kind of those, you know, original huge flyers from, you know, the years bull runs ago that, you know, still have staying power. And you can't deny Doge's, again, creative capital from being involved as, you know, one of the OG high flying memes and the Elon Musk tweets and all that stuff. It has that, it's recognizable to the average person for the people who aren't in the trenches that should be via the Momentum Moneymakers community. You know, it's just kind of it's an old guard that they can go back to, right?
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth that this is like, it just has like this culty like behavior. Like a lot of these meme coins like want that. Doge has it. That's why it's almost a $40 billion market cap, because I'll run into just like, we'll call them like my normie friends out there, or like on the golf course. And there's always somebody that's like, yeah, I bought Doge, or like, I still hold my Doge coin. And it has a very unique unit bias where, you know, a couple bucks gets you like hundreds of thousands of millions of tokens. Overall, the tokenomics aren't great. I do love, like, kind of, I jump on where Joe's going with Pengu. I love the Pengu token. I look at it as like a meme coin plus, kind of. It's going to have this culty-like community and behavior like Doge, but they're doing a lot of real-world things. And I think that's the double whammy. But the North Star is, you know, to have like a Pengu or like one of these major meme coins of this cycle flip this OG meme coin. I'm not sure if it's ever going to happen. We're talking like a $40 billion market cap, but there's a handful out there that could do it.
Couldn't agree more. Just to give a shout out to the chat. We appreciate everybody that's still here. Really active. I did see somebody drop a contract address in the chat. I did remove it. I don't, you know, I'm not checking it or anything, but like, let's just, a standard rule is you don't want to engage with any contract address that anybody's putting in the chat, just for safety reasons. But we do appreciate Oscar, Deborah, Aaron, Fitz, Grant's in the chat. Crypto Mavericks. Oh, that's you, Joe. There you are. Super fun afternoon here as we move along. Sorry, I lost my place on the sheet. Oh, Joe, this is going straight to you. Mr. Rec Drinks himself. We've been covering it while you haven't been here. And every time we brought it up, I'd be like, man, Joe must be celebrating by cracking not one, but two Rec Drinks and flywheeling it down his gullet as he reaches down there. I'm sure he's pulling one up. There it is, folks. There it is. Joe, 1 million drinks sold. Is that the 1 millionth one? Did they send that to the Crypto 101 pod?
Yeah, we need to reach out to OV and ask for that. Yeah, no, it's not the 1 million drinks sold. But yeah, they crossed that line. I forgot when. It was last week. Yeah, late last week, they did 1 million cans sold with the collaboration with MoonPay. So that's coming. I got a confirmation tracking for that. So we'll feature that on the next live stream. So tune in for that. And yeah, their flywheel's still in effect. People are getting potentially a token airdrop for the last sale of the drink collaboration. So, and they got a lot more lined up. But we heard inklings. We know we love Nobody Sausage here. I watched your guys' last live stream, and I took a position in Nobody Sausage. Non-financial advice, I believe Nobody Sausage has everything. It has all the ingredients to become the next Pudgy Penguin. Not like, you know, worth $2 billion immediately, but you know, it's got great branding.
Listen, it is definitely not personal financial advice, because as funny as and as much as we love this, and we had a great call, I'll say this, we called it and it definitely went up, like I think it was like 50-60% after we called it. It has sold off a little bit. It's a low market cap, so it's moving quick, but you know, we love just kind of the thought of it. I think it's really funny. I thought for a flywheel, I texted this in the group, we need Nobody sausages in the grocery store, one sausage at a time on the grill, right? But yeah, this is one that price action wise, you just got to be weary of because the market cap's so low. But it is quite fun, and you do got to love that relationship on the timeline with Pengu and Pudgy Penguin.
Yeah, if you want to pull up that link I just dumped in, sorry for putting links last minute, but Rec does something very interesting.
Is that under,
yeah,
Rec under
does
the
something very interesting. I'm not sure if you guys talked about it last time, but we all know about DATs, you know, treasury companies. So GameSquare is a publicly traded company that does DAT strategy with Ethereum. And they also own the brand called FaZe Clan. And they spent $2 million in terms of a sponsorship with Rec, you know. And what that means is that now they're going to feature the Rec to Drink logo on the FaZe Clan jerseys. So FaZe Clan is an e-gaming team and platform and media company. They have like a million impressions every single video that they do. The younger people will know who they are. They're very, very popular. Even LeBron's been linked with them. A lot of athletes been linked with them. The last drink collaboration that teamed up with FaZe did really, really well. So this is nothing to, you know, just gloss over. When we do see this activation, I believe there's going to be a huge surge of interest. So people are asking me, how do I like Rec here? I like it here. I think it's like around 250 million market cap. I definitely can see it going back up towards the 500 million range. I don't see a clear-cut picture for it to reach a billion in terms of market cap, which would be a 4x from here. But definitely getting back to its previous all-time highs is something that I do see. So just because they're making moves, they're selling cans, they have more collaborations, you know, and the flywheel is strong here. So we loved ourselves some Rec here.
Yeah, no, FaZe is definitely a big gaming brand and just a ton of reach on social media. If you don't know who that is, again, I'm not even a huge gamer, but I do know who the FaZe Clan is. I did see this on the timeline. I'm glad you guys put this on the sheet. There's some other people that are looking into different strategies around some meme coins, kind of like that, you know, buying wrecked and putting in the treasury. We've got Pudgy Penguin strategy and a couple others here. We can't say all the names, specifically that one, but the, you know, what are you seeing here? What's the strategy behind it besides just buying the token? Is there any more information around this strategy here?
Yeah, I can touch on it. We talked about with our private community last week, Punk strategy essentially was the first one by TokenWorks, this platform, and they made a Punk strategy just like MicroStrategy. It's a play of MicroStrategy. And what's Punk strategy do? They buy CryptoPunks, the gold standard of all NFTs, you know, And I am in firm belief, I think Joe is as well, that CryptoPunks, if anybody's curious, check them out. They trade for hundreds of thousands of dollars, but they're probably going to $1 million one day. It's everybody in like the NFT streets kind of feels that way. They're the gold standard of all NFT projects. They have provenance. There's just so much around the entire collection. So they created a coin, not the actual company. Someone created a coin, TokenWorks, Punk Strategy, and they take, I believe, 10% of it. They use 8% to go back into a fund. And once that gets to a certain level, they use that money to buy CryptoPunk. Since this is released over the past couple of weeks, they've bought 10 CryptoPunks. So they have over $1 million in CryptoPunks, essentially, just off of fees. And then they automatically list those to the 1.2x above the floor price. When that sells, they buy and burn their token, and it's a deflationary mechanism. And there's a little bit more to the tokenomics to it. But very long story short is it's a meme coin integrating with an NFT project. And it's a way to kind of get exposure to the actual NFT project, because what they're doing is they're buying the NFTs and relisting them higher. Also gives this new avenue of liquidity to these NFT projects. So Punk Strategy was the first one to do it. We were kind of hot on it. We liked it. We actually made it a cusp call last week, right around like a $12 to $15 million range. It had some volatility to it. So, and I believe it's right around a $30 million as of today. So up, their platform actually decided to give an opportunity for other NFT projects to do the same thing. So Burb Strategy, they're doing the same thing with Moonbirds. Ape Strategy, they're doing with Bored Apes. Punk Strategy, they're doing it with Pudgy Penguins. So they're actually, what the fees are generating, they're going in and buying the NFTs and relisting them on the floor. So it's a whole new meta of meme coin meets NFTs and how they use that technology to really drive interest and prices. It's a really unique mechanism, and the prices have been going pretty well.
Yeah, just to, you know, you kind of glazed over that it was a cusp call here. And again, if people are not familiar, the cusp call is kind of your guys' proprietary system for figuring out what projects you might make a call on. So we talked about kind of the first alerts and the market alerts that Aster was, and then this Punk Strategy was a cusp call. So I do have the chart you guys put it in. So Brian, do you remember kind of around the date that you guys put this out on, give or take?
Yeah, we gave it last Thursday. So Thursday, Friday, kind of what day is it?
Like the date? About the 18th, maybe.
Yeah, right around the 7th. Yeah, right around that area, right there. Like I remember it was pumping, and right before it was pumping, then it kind of met some dip, and then it's pumping again. It was right around like we gave a buy zone right around like 12 to 15 million. While we were like going through it, it was pumping, because literally the day we made the call, they also made an announcement that other NFT projects are going to start using that strategy. So we've seen a nice pump up, gave everyone in the community a really good entry after the top. And now we're meeting a really top again. But I did say kind of in our when we break it down with our community, I liked it in the $12 to $15 million range. I felt like it would get to that point, which it did. And now it's off to the races again.
Yeah, again, low market cap, high mover. But again, just one of the many benefits of learning what these are and kind of being a part of Brian Joe's community. If you're interested, the link is down there, like I've mentioned before. Let's see, fellas, where are we moving on to close it out? We got a couple more quick hitters and we can do some Poly Market. So we'll put 10 minutes on the clock. And we are doing some Moonbirds. Moonbirds, something going on there?
Yeah, so we talked about Moonbirds a lot. People don't know what they are. They're basically an NFT project, just like Pudgy Penguins. In fact, they have a lot of partnerships with Pudgy Penguins. They're the ones that produce the cards for Pudgy Penguins. So they actually produce physicals. And this is pretty a big news. They sold $1.7 million worth of physical toys within 24 hours. And the reason this is big news is because they're launching their token in the Q4. So their token's coming out. It's called Burbs. And there's a path now that Pudgy Penguins set for everyone else. Like Pudgy Penguins got featured on an earnings call on a New York Stock Exchange. all these other companies like Moonbirds and Rekt should be super excited now that in the future, they will get adopted. People will hold their assets and be featured on the stock exchange also. I know Rekt is poised to be. They could get acquired by a big beverage company. Moonbirds, one of those also. They've completely smashed it in the physical cards trading realm. And with Moonbirds, they're deploying the same playbook and people are eating it up. So $1.7 million in physical toy sales within 24 hours is amazing. And just to touch on kind of NFTs overall, kind of the landscape now, is they're kind of, bobbing and weaving, but, there's certain use cases that are really taken off. Like Panini, for example, they sold a $175,000 Caitlin Clark, the highest ever, even higher than his cardboard counterpart, believe it or not. So there's not a resurgence in NFTs, but there's a progression and there's an advancement. A lot of people don't know about it. So we imagine, there's some opportunities upcoming for people who want to invest into all assets, that outpace inflation in the near future, counter to their physicals. We know about physical toys and physical cardboard collectible cards, but a lot of people don't know about the digital aspects of those.
Couldn't agree more. And that's what we do here is we kind of try to uncover and bring to the light the different areas that are moving forward, whether it's in the finance space, the NFT space. And we've been kind of one of the first I've seen on YouTube or podcast specifically to cover the betting markets. And again, Brian said that his favorite is Polymarket. I just want to say for the producer of the show here, no free ads. We have no favorites. We are open to being bought, whether it's Polymarkets, Kalshi, Robinhood Markets. We are open to sponsorships for the betting markets because we love them all equally, Brian, and we're open to sponsorships. One of your favorites is Myriad, and you kind of have a strategy on why you're using Myriad, and it's obviously one of the smaller ones, but their volume is up and to the right here, which is really exciting. So if you just wanted to cover, again, we can jump into Polymarket in a second and go over and see what's trending, but just remind people of what Myriad is and kind of your strategy behind it for the abstract chain.
Yeah, Myriad's a top prediction website growing very quickly. We've been in it since the early days. So shout out to anybody in our community that's been kind of on the Myriad train with Joe and I. I've certainly contributed to this weekly USD volume by chain, and I've helped get it up there, I'm sure. But it is on the abstract chain. The unique thing about it is it's a prediction website, which we love. It's on Abstract. Both Myriad and Abstract are coming out with tokens. So every time that you pretty much put a wager, we don't have the full parameters, but you're going to assume when you put a wager in on Myriad or do some sort of tasks, you're earning opportunity to get the Myriad token. In addition to that, Myriad's on Abstract, and every time you utilize an application on Abstract, you get XP points. So it's like a double farm. So we talked about those airdrops earlier. Myriad and Abstract were both on the list for a possible Q4 airdrop. Even if it's a few hundred bucks, a few thousand bucks, we have no idea. Some of these could get some serious numbers. And it's something that I would always already be doing, interacting with. And I'm really farming the airdrop, but I'm also absolutely loving putting some of these predictions on Myriad. Myriad's where I put the pal tie. That wasn't on Kalshi. That wasn't on Polymarket. What color tie Powell was going to wear was on Myriad. Now, sure, it was a big fat loser, but I'm farming an airdrop.
We had fun. We had fun. And we said before that stream that we had some action in the prediction markets, but it was all for fun. And speaking of having fun, I don't think the prediction markets or gamblers have more fun than anywhere than the NFL. And to build on that, I saw some stats flying around yesterday that Robinhood's prediction markets brought in, a million just in revenue. That's $1 million in revenue, which was up from $720,000 the Sunday before. So we're prediction market bulls. Again, it is basically gambling in a way, but it depending on what you're betting on. If you're doing sports, 100%, there's a lot of opportunities around, the Fed rate cuts and will Bitcoin be a certain price by this date that, yeah, you can decide to kind of gamble or play the odds or, there's ways to hedge that and hedge your whatever portfolios you're working on too. So we think it's not only fun, but it is a tool to put in your toolbox to kind of, you know, learn what's going on. It's a way to consume news. It's a way to consume opinions, but not just opinions that you're going to hear on TV or social media. These are opinions that are backed by, depending on the handle, you know, millions, tens of millions, possibly hundreds of millions of dollars when you're getting to stuff like, you know, the election, which is, was a great learning experience for everybody. So, Brian, I'll pull it up again. Not an official sponsor, Polymarket. One that we do like just as much as we like Kalshi or Hood or Myriad. And we are open to sponsorships. But what are you seeing on Polymarket? Anything popping out to you?
Well, let's look at that one in the upper right-hand corner. What will Jimmy Kimmel say on the return of his show on September 20th? Trump has to. Yeah, Trump over 10 times. Man, that feels like a smash buy. I mean, I know sharps never go over, but I feel like he sorry or an apology over five times. Gonna have to go. He did do the Man Show back in the day. It doesn't feel like Jimmy Kimmel is real big on apologizing. So, like you said, you can have a lot of fun with this. It can be politics, it can be sports, it could be crypto prices. Hell, it could be what Jimmy Kimmel says on his return back air to the air.
Gold card was interesting. Sorry about that. How many gold cards would Trump sell in 2025? That was just released, what, yesterday?
The immigration card.
Yeah, well, that's crypto specific too, because that's like a Howard Lutnick. That falls in his category of ownership, the gold cards, I believe.
That just changed real time. That just changed. Look, 1 to 100, 101 to 1,000.
Why does 1 to 100 feel like a smash buy? Not finding a Twitter device, but we just need one?
Well, I think it is important to say you got to read the rules of these things of how they get settled out. Because there's always, I remember Polymarket, you know, there's, you know, some lower handle things. Kind of, there were some big arguments I saw on X on what made the decision to decide this or decide that. So if you're getting into the weeds on this stuff, you got to do the research. But again, the gold card, forming your opinions and understanding what that is. And again, those are the type of revenues that Lutnick, you know, could decide to, you know, what is it, net zero, put into the Bitcoin reserve, right? Because we can't print money or put, you know, it was a net zero outcome. So we can't dedicate budget to it. But if it's a net zero outcome, like we're selling gold cards, then it could be a budget neutral way to buy Bitcoin. So again, stuff like that is how you can come on here and get some information. I did ask the chat, is there any questions here before we get up? I know that there was one from Oscar. Any other questions, last call? Toss them in there.
I want to know what the chat thinks about this gold card. I mean, it has to be over one, right? Is anybody in the chat going to buy a gold card?
Yeah, the OLED podcast said that they would have done it, you know, had it been available back in those days. So for sure, there's people wanting to get in.
Yeah, the only question is from Oscar about Veve. Have you guys ever heard of Veve Digital Collectibles?
Yeah, Veve. Yeah, I answered them on the chat. Veve's experienced very, very turbulent times, so I personally would stay away until they make some, you know, big changes.
Yeah,
I didn't mean to cut you off too. I also saw a question in the chat. Someone asked about finding airdrops. Not sure. You know, a good way to find airdrops is, well, join our community, something Joe and I always talk about, but really a good way that I find these airdrops. CoinMarketCap has a link on airdrop opportunities. X, Twitter can be your best friend. And really the way I personally find a lot of my airdrops are as I'm involved with a lot of these companies and or these projects. And every time that I'm speculating an airdrop or following these major accounts, I put it on a list and kind of something Joe and I just powwow and talk about all the time. But probably Twitter is your best way, but you always want to be extremely diligent because there's fake scams, links, people claiming that there's an airdrop. Definitely have wallet security. Verify these things 3, 4, 5 different sources, because somebody sending you, hey, you missed this airdrop in your email or in your direct messages, 99.9% of the time, that's an absolute scam. So you want to be very careful when you're searching for these airdrops, but there's a lot of resources out there where you can find legit opportunities.
Well said, man. We're in hour five. We appreciate everybody in the chat. Again, if you're still here and haven't yet, hit that like button. Subscribe if you haven't. Thanks to Brian and Joe. If you want more around their community, I did put the link in the description. It's the first one there for the Momentum Moneymakers. And other than that, we appreciate everybody being with us today. We do have one more live. It's going to be Friday afternoon. I'll put that link up on Thursday so you can make sure you get the URL ready. It's going to be a fun one. We're going to have, you know, most of the entire team there. It's going to be a prepare for October. But overall, we just appreciate everybody listening. Thanks for your time. Enjoy the rest of your day. And we're going to see you all on Friday. Bye-bye, everybody.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.